The Golden Age of Radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, Edward Pauly and Fran Carlin star in an episode of Big Town from 1948. We'll also hear a CBC radio report on returning to Canada in 1946 following World War II. And actress Thelma Powell blames Nona for delays on the soap opera Nona from Nowhere from 1950. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, a CBC radio report on returning to Canada in 1946 following World War II. And actress Thelma Powell blames Nona for delays on the soap opera Nona from Nowhere from 1950. Right now, Edward Pauly and Fran Carlin star in an episode of Big Town from 1948 as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Lifebuoy Health Soap presents Big Town.
Extra, extra hero, about the angel of the street. Tonight's Big Town story brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap. Lifebuoy gets skin cleaner in your daily bath. Extra, extra.
Lifebuoy Health Soap presents Big Town, the headline stories of a great city dramatically reported by Steve Wilson, fighting managing editor whose creed, as with all great newsmen, is emblazoned on the masthead of the Illustrated Press.
The power and the freedom of the press is a flaming sword, but it may be a faithful servant of all the people. Use it justly, hold it high, guard it well.
Now to Big Town and to Steve Wilson's heartwarming story of The Angel of the Street. In Big Town, as in all great cities, all but lost amid the brassy clamor of its life, there walk in silence and in suffering angels of the street. And this is the simple story of but one, a flower seller in the theatrical section of Big Town. It began one chilly autumn evening as an elderly woman known as Violet stood shivering in the doorway, waiting for a young man to come out of a swank apartment house.
Johnny. Johnny Nolan, wait.
What the... Oh, hello, Violet. Rotten night to be peddling posies. Why don't you go home?
I've never missed an opening night in 20 years, Johnny. My producer friends would think it was bad luck if I wasn't around selling my violets.
They ought to put you in a payroll, Violet. You ought to shake them down for plenty.
But Johnny, don't talk like that. You didn't used to talk like that before you quit night school and started running around with that no-good chick Larson.
Don't you worry about me, Violet. I'm learning the angles. Pretty soon, I'll be buying your violets. For luck.
Don't, Johnny. All the violets in the world won't bring you the kind of luck you'll need if you take up with Chick Larson and his racket crowd.
What have I got to lose? A punk out of an orphanage that some slug left $10 a week instead of a name? I wish I knew who he was. I'd shake him down till his teeth fell out.
Oh, no, you wouldn't, Johnny. You ain't that kind. You've been listening to that scum of the earth, Chick Larson.
What do you care, Violet? What did playing it straight ever get you?
Oh, Johnny, Johnny.
Go on, peddle your posies. One of these days, I'll buy you that farm you're always talking about, where you can raise your own vines.
Not with that kind of money, Johnny. I'd rather die in the gutter of Big Town. I'd rather die...
Cut it out, Violet. You've been a pal, and you helped me out. You steered me into my first job when I got out of the orphanage. But I ain't gonna go on being pushed around for the rest of my life.
Don't do it, Johnny. If it's money in there to get started on something, I've got a little save.
No. I'm sorry, Violet. You've done too much for me already. Now, leave me alone. Good night.
Glass, leave him alone. Leave Johnny alone. He ain't their kind. They'll use him, drag him down and...
Yeah? Oh, hi, Violet. What do you want?
I want to see Chick Glass.
Who is it, Lola, baby?
There's a lady to see you, Chick.
Yeah? What's she want? Very funny. Go on, mix some drinks or I'll smack your teeth for a real laugh.
Oh, cut it out, Chick. Where's your sense of humor?
I haven't any. I just got a thirst. Mix me a drink to get the taste of this posy pusher out of my mind, will you? All right, Violet, how did you get up here?
Up the service stairs. I knew the elevator kid would never bring me up the front way.
And how he wouldn't. Well, what do you want?
I want you to leave Johnny Nolan alone.
Nolan?
Yes.
What's my deal with him got to do with you?
You're trying to ring him into your dirty racket.
Well, what's it to you?
None of your business. But you ain't going to mix him up in your crooked deals. You ain't going to get him in trouble. Get him sent to jail, you ain't.
No, huh? Come over here to the head of the stairs.
You let go of me. Quit pushing you.
Shut up and listen, you rummy old posy peddler. Pushing dopes around is my racket.
I don't care what you do to me. Only you'll leave Johnny Nolan alone.
Well, it's good you don't care what I'm going to do to you. Because I'm going to learn you to mind your own business.
Let go of me. Let me go.
Sure. I'm even going to help you go. You sneaked up the back stairs, so I'm going to help you down the same way.
Steve, you got a minute?
Sure thing, Lorelai. Come in.
Come on in, Violet. Thank
you. It's cheerful. Hello, Violet. What are you... Good grief, what's happened to you? How did you get your face cut up like that?
Oh, it don't matter about me, Mr. Wilson.
Wait a minute, Violet. Here, let me take your flower basket. What's the matter with your side? You keep clutching it. Have you been hit by a car?
No. I'll be all right. It's Johnny Nolan. I want you to help.
Johnny Nolan?
Yes.
The boy you befriended ever since he got out of the North?
Yes. He's going to get in trouble, Mr. Wilson. He's bitter. They've been lying to him. Making him bitter. Trying to mix him up in that dirty racket.
Who's trying to mix Johnny in a racket, Violet?
Chick Larson.
Chick Larson.
Steve, isn't he the West Coast character who's supposed to be moving in on the Midtown Cafe operator?
Yes, but so far, the racket squad's having a thing on him, aren't I?
He's trying to get Johnny to handle his books. Johnny's good at figures. He was going to be in a count.
Well, Johnny's troubles can wait, Violet. You're hurt. Call a doctor, Lorelai.
No, I'll be all right.
Violet, let me touch your side. I've had pretty good
dreams. No, it don't matter, Miss Kilburn.
What happened, Violet? How did you get bruised and cut up like this?
Well, I tried to make him leave Johnny alone. He pushed me down the service stairs.
Who pushed you downstairs, Violet?
Larson?
Oh, Steve, I'm almost certain two of her ribs are broken. There may be internal bleeding.
Get on the phone, Laura.
No.
I'll call for an ambulance. Get her to City Hospital.
Please, Mr. Wilson. I've got to keep them from dragging Johnny down in the gutter.
Now, you've done more than your part, Violet.
Please find Johnny, Mr. Wilson.
Now, don't worry, Violet. I'll find Johnny Nolan and Chick Larson and take it from there.
I'd see you once what, Lola?
What's the matter, Chick? Pushing that poor old dame downstairs where you're out so much you can't make it to the door?
No, baby. And I told you to quit lipping me for less. Cokie?
Yeah, Chick?
See you once. Remember, that posy peddler ain't been around. We ain't seen her.
Sure, Chick. We've just been playing gin rummy like gents.
And that goes for you, too, Lola, baby.
Quit twisting my arm, Chick. I don't have to take it.
You'll take what I hand out.
I want to see Chick Larson.
Hold it, fella. Maybe he don't want to see you.
He'll talk to me or the police.
Oh, yeah? Who says so?
Take it easy, Cokie. Invite the gent.
Okay, Chick. Come on in, mister.
Thanks. So you're Chick Larson?
So I've been told. Who are you I got to talk to?
The police may want to ask you a few questions, whether you talk to me or not.
Yeah, what's the beef?
At the moment,
It's a simple matter of assault. But if your victim dies, it'll be murder.
Murder? Chick, you
shut up. Go make some drinks, baby. I want to hear this guy talk.
Want me to frisk him for heat, Chick?
Put that goon boy on a leash, Larson.
Yeah, go cheat yourself a game of solitaire, Cokie. This guy kind of interests me.
Okay. But if he gets funny...
All right, big boy. It's a cinch you ain't a copper, so where do you fit?
We'll get to that. Where's Johnny Nolan?
Nolan? What do you want him for?
Someone who loves him very much is badly hurt and is asking for him. The flower woman you shoved down a flight of stairs.
Prove it, fella. I got two witnesses that'll say she wasn't
and
here.
And I have proof she was here.
What kind?
This bunch of violets outside your door, crushed underfoot when you shoved her toward the service stairs.
That ain't proof of nothing. Anyway, what's it to you?
Just this, Larson. You picked the wrong person to shove down those stairs. Just a poor old flower seller, but a woman known to the as the Angel of the Street. A woman with 1,000 friends, from the biggest big shot to the lowest moocher. And if she dies, your life won't be worth a nickel in this town.
You scare me, fella.
Where's Johnny Nolan?
Never heard of the punk.
Where's Nolan?
Try the phone book.
Listen, Larson. That poor woman may be dying because she doesn't want to live to see Johnny Nolan teamed up with you.
You're breaking my heart.
All right, Larson. You've had your chance. I'll find Nolan another way and leave you to my friend, Inspector Callahan of Homicide.
Check. You ain't gonna let that monkey talk like that and walk out of here. Let me take him.
Not here, Cokie. Put that sticker away.
Yes, Cokie.
And next time you pull a knife, don't rattle before you strike.
Thus, Steve, although failing to get a line on Johnny Nolan, has stirred up a deadly hornet's nest that will lead to exciting developments. And in a moment, we'll continue with tonight's story, The Angel of the Street. You know, one big reason I've been using Lifebuoy Health Soap all these years is that I always felt it got me extra clean. But now I've seen the actual proof, and it really is something startling. Because the doctors now know that Lifebuoy in your daily bath gets you cleaner. Stops B.O. as no other leading soap can. Yes, after comparing the effects of daily baths with different soaps, the doctors made this amazing statement.
Actually, you are cleaner, safer from B.O. when you bathe daily with Lifebuoy than when you bathe with any other leading soap.
The doctors studied 820 scientific tests and discovered that it's Lifebuoy's purifying ingredient that makes the difference. And this same purifying ingredient actually makes Lifebuoy milder, safe even for a baby's tender skin. So enjoy that Lifebuoy bath every day. It's refreshing and mild. And Lifebuoy gets you cleaner. Buy some tomorrow. You'll be glad you did. Back to Big Town and Steve Wilson's headline story of The Angel of the Street. Investigating a brutal assault on Violet, a beloved flower vendor of the theatrical section of Big Town, Steve Wilson is trying to locate Johnny Nolan, an orphan the old woman had befriended since childhood. Now, following a clash with a racketeer responsible for Violet's injuries and who knows Johnny Nolan's whereabouts, Steve and Harry the Hack are watching the gangster's hangout.
Hey, boss.
Say it, Harry. Look, keep your eye peeled on that side exit to Larson's building while I watch the front.
Check, boss.
Now, the hunch the rats are going to scatter. I'm hoping they'll lead us to Johnny Nolan.
Hey, boss, that's a press car that just pulled up behind my hack.
Yeah, it's the law line.
She must have hightailed right here from the hospital. Hey, what gives her a bile, Miss Kilbine?
Pretty serious, Harry. Internal hemorrhage. She keeps asking for Johnny Nolan. Have you located him, Steve?
No, he's not at his flat, and no one seems to know where he hangs out.
Well, what about Chick Larson?
Now, Larson isn't talking, but I threw the hook into him, and I'm hoping he'll lead us to Nolan. Hey,
boss, a dame just come out of the side exodus, and she's coming this way.
Yeah, in a hurry. And looking behind her as if she's afraid she's being followed.
That's the girl who was in Larson's apartment.
She's crossing the street, heading toward the avenue. You want me to follow her, Steve?
Yes, Laura, I follow her, but watch her step. I don't know how deeply she's involved in Larson's setup.
I'll be careful, Steve, and I can do better without the press car.
Now, leave it here. Harry and I may have to split up if Larson and his hop-headed stooge come out I'll get going, my lovely. She may grab a cab on the corner.
She won't shake me. I'll phone Fletch on city desk and leave a message. The man she likes.
What a gal, boy.
Yes. If only she wasn't so reckless. Careless of her own safety.
Boss, if you will excuse the personalities, them that live in glass hothouses should not throw shoes which fit.
Well, maybe you're right, Harry. I don't set a very good example, but... heads up, Harry. Get under the wheel of your hack. Larson's on the move.
Is that him under the canopy with the skinny character healing like a bird? Hey, it looks like they're looking for a hack.
Yes, pull out, Harry. Cruise pass. Pick them up if you can. Take them wherever they want to go.
Check, boss. And whilst while you will be doing what?
I'll be in the press car, Harry. Glued to your tail. Now get going. Let's go.
I gotta warn Johnny. There's no telling what Chick will do.
Yeah?
Oh, Johnny, it's me, Lola. I was hoping you'd be with Sam.
Yeah? Oh, what's the matter, Lola?
It's Chick, Johnny. Something happened after you left. Something you ought to know about.
Been slamming you around again, Lola?
Oh, no more than usual. But you're mixed up in this, Johnny.
How do you mean?
Well, I don't want to tell you over the phone. Can you come over here to my place quick?
Yeah, okay, Lola. I can be there in 5 minutes.
Make it quick, Johnny. Make it quick. Chick. Maybe he followed me. He sent Cokie. Yeah? Yeah, who is it?
Miss Lynn. Miss Lynn.
Oh. Must be the girl across the hall. Just... Oh. Oh, you're not...
No, I'm not whoever you're expecting, but I want to talk to you just a second.
Say, who are you? What's the idea of pushing your way into my apartment?
To get a straight answer to a simple question, where's Johnny Nolan?
What do you want to know? Who are you?
Well, it isn't important, but I happen to be a newspaper reporter.
A reporter?
Yes, I'm Lorelei Kilburn of the Illustrated Press.
What do you want with Johnny? He wasn't there...
Wasn't where? At Chick Larson's place when that poor flower seller was pushed down a flight of stairs?
Say, how do you know so much?
We know plenty, but we don't know where to find Johnny Nolan, and you're going to tell me or you'll tell it to Homicide at police headquarters.
Homicide? Is Violet dead?
No, but she's in a very bad way.
Well, why do you want Johnny Nolan? He wasn't there. He left before it happened.
Because Violet wants to see him. She doesn't want to live if he's going to get mixed up in Chick Larson's rotten rackets.
Is that the only reason... Don't lie to me, Kilburn. Johnny don't give a hoop about me, but I happen to like him.
Then where is he?
He's coming here. And
hiya, Lola.
Oh, Chick.
Yeah, Chick. How come you took a powder when I told you to go mix me a drink?
I'm through, Chick. You mixed me in more than enough.
Nobody walks out on me, baby. Who's your snazzy girlfriend?
Just a friend, Mr. Larson.
What do you use for a name, beautiful?
Thanks for the compliment. Just call me Susie Q.
Just be beautiful, baby. Don't strain a brain looking me for laughs, kid.
I'll try to remember that.
You do that. Jot me down your phone number while I settle with Lola, man.
I'm getting out of town, Chick.
Sure, Cokie's picking up a car to take you.
Cokie? I wouldn't go to the corner with Cokie.
You'll go, baby. Get your hat. Dame always feels better with her hat on. No matter what happens.
I won't go.
Get your hat, Lola. Let me talk to Chicky boy.
You keep out of this, plenty of plenty.
Chick, that's Johnny, but don't get this wrong.
Clam up. So you phone a Johnny punk, huh? I figured you dumb enough to do that.
Johnny ain't crossed. You ain't made a play for me.
Get in the bedroom, both of you.
Now, wait a minute, Larson, before you start waving that gun in your shoulder.
Get in there, both of you. I'll tend to this. Come on in, Johnny boy. Door ain't locked.
Oh, what's up, Chick? Where's Lola?
Shut the door, Johnny.
Oh, wait a minute, Lola. Hello again, Larson.
Mr. Wilson, what are you doing here?
Wilson, the racket-buster newsy, so that's who you are.
Yes, Larson. And thanks for leading me to Nolan.
So you tailed me, huh?
A blind man could have trailed you here.
You got nothing on me, Wilson?
Nothing but an assault rap so far. But pull that ego crutch in the shoulder holster bulging your tux, and you'll buy yourself a one-way ticket to the chair.
What's happened, Mr. Wilson?
It's very simple, Johnny. This would-be boss of yours has nearly killed the best friend you'll ever have.
Who are you talking about?
The woman who's looked after you since you were a kid in an orphanage.
Violet?
Yes.
What's happened to her?
She's in General Hospital because she tried to keep this rat from wringing you into his filthy rackets.
How bad, Mr. Wilson? How bad is it?
Bad enough she may die because she doesn't want to live to see you hauled down in the gutter with a snipe.
Larson, you rat. You dirty, stinking rat.
Well, Larson, hold it, Johnny.
Larson will keep. You're needed at General Hospital to tell Violet you're not going to team up with Larson or any other rat.
I'll go, Mr. Wilson, but first let me show this.
No, God. Don't be a fool.
Leave me.
Yes, don't either one of you be dopes.
Get away from that door, Larson.
Give me an argument.
We're going to General Hospital to give a woman the will to fight for her life.
You ain't going out of here and sicking the cops on me.
Let go of me, Mr. Wilson. I'll take that gun away from him and break every bone in his body.
No, Johnny. He's a cornered rat and he'd tear you apart.
Yes, and the same goes double for you, Wilson. So lead that hero over to the bedroom door over there and I'll let you guys join a couple of snazzy dames.
Mr. Wilson, he must have Lola Lynn locked in there. She phoned me from here 5 minutes ago.
Yes, and apparently one of my top crime reporters, Lorelei Kilburn.
So the other dame was a reporter, huh? Well, that settles it.
And I'll settle you. Oh.
Look out, Johnny. Nice going, but let me get this gun out of his hand.
Take it and let me finish him.
No, that's enough, Johnny. That'll hold him. Now let the law settle the rest of the score, Johnny.
If Violet dies, I'll kill him. She'll help me, I'll kill him.
No, Johnny. No. The law will take care of him, Johnny. Now, come on. Let's get the Lorelei and Miss Lynn out of the room.
Steve.
Yes, Lorelei. Just a minute, my lovely.
Did you take Larson?
As Johnny jumped in and held him while I pulled the snake's fangs, he's over there on the floor.
Is Lola okay, Miss Kilburn?
Yes, Johnny. I didn't have anything to do with hurting Violet, Johnny. I couldn't stop
it. Sure, kid. I ain't blaming you. Even for getting mixed up with Larson, I almost did. But what about Violet? How bad is she? When can I see her?
As soon as we can get you to the hospital, Johnny. She's asking for you. She's afraid you're going to the rackets and doesn't want to live if you do.
She won't have to worry about that.
Okay, Johnny. Give me a hand with Larson and we'll turn him over to the police on the way to the hospital.
What about Cokie, Mr. Wilson? He's coming here to get me.
I think Cokie will be well taken care of.
Think again, Wilson.
Oh, Cokie.
How? If it isn't the knife boy to the rescue.
Yeah, Wilson. Only this time I got me a gun and Pry taken it and I'll rip you open where you'll spill all over the joint.
I won't have to take it away from you, Cokie.
Come on, Wilson. Pry it. I got a personal score to settle with you.
Include me, Cokie.
Keep out of this, Johnny. You're needed at General Hospital, but not as a patient.
You slugs ain't going nowhere till you snap Chick out of dreamland till he tells me what to do with you. Go on, Johnny. Work on Chick. Get him on his feet.
Go ahead, Johnny. Leave Cokie to me.
Yeah. Come on, Wilson. Try taking this rod like you did my knife, and I'll pour it into you till you fall apart.
Steve faces a tricky and dangerous situation, and in a moment we'll come to the exciting climax of tonight's story, brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap. Yes, it's an amazing statement, but doctors have proved it to themselves. Lifebuoy in your daily bath gets you cleaner than any other leading soap can. Yes, it's true. You are cleaner, safer from B.O. when you bathe daily with Lifebuoy than when you bathe with any other leading soap. Buy some tomorrow. Now, back to Big Town and tonight's heartwarming story of The Angel of the Street. And to Steve Wilson as he faces a hop-headed gunsel by the name of Cokie.
Come on, Wilson. Try to take this rod like you took my knife.
Don't try it, Steve. He's needle-happy.
Don't worry, Lorelei. It won't be necessary. It's all arranged. Cokie is going to be taken care of in just a moment.
Are you going to pull it, Wilson? Come on, make a move. I'll even take my finger off of the trigger of this gun. Give you a sporting chance to rush me. Come on, Wilson. I bet you 6 slugs to 1 punch. Come on. Come on.
All right, now, Harry.
Check. What?
Yeah, thanks, Harry. Pick up his gun.
Oh, that was beautiful, Harry. Thanks from all of us.
Oh, think nothing of her, Miss Kilpine.
Steve, did you know for certain Harry was standing right behind Cokie outside that door?
Yes, well, I didn't see Harry, but I saw a hand holding his upholstered monkey wrench, and That was enough.
Yeah, and if there is anything else, I will be glad to oblige noblessly.
Just phone the police, Harry, and watch these goon boys until they get here.
With pleasure, boss.
What about me, Mr. Wilson? I know I should have helped you. Should have gone to the police.
Well, stay here, Miss Lynn. Tell the police a straight story, and they'll give you every break they can. Come on, Lorelei, Johnny. Let's see if we can give poor Violet a break.
Johnny, you came.
Yeah, Violet. Yeah, I got here thanks to Mr. Wilson. And don't you worry about me getting into the rackets. Oh,
don't do it, Johnny. Don't hook up with Larson or you'll end up dead in the gutter like your father.
My father? You knew my old man?
Yes, Johnny. He wasn't bad. Just stubborn like you. He wanted to get rich quick. Got mixed up with a rum gang and they killed him when he tried to pull out.
Well, then, it wasn't him that left enough dough for me to go to high school after I got out of the orphanage.
Oh, yes, Johnny. He didn't want you to go his way. End up in the gutter, in the street, like me.
Oh, wait a minute, Violet.
Yes, don't worry about Johnny, Violet.
Oh, Mr. Wilson, Miss Kilbourne. I didn't see you there standing at the foot of my bed. Thank you for helping, Johnny.
Well, we haven't been able to do a thing but bring you two together. But now the doctors say you're going to be all right. How about giving Johnny a chance to thank the one person to whom he owes everything?
No. No, Mr. Wilson. Let it stay like it's been.
What is it, Violet? What are you and Mr. Wilson talking about?
Tell him, Violet. Johnny has a right to know.
No, Mr. Wilson. He'd be so ashamed.
Not if he's worth all you've done for him through all the years. He has a right to know his mother.
Oh, no.
My mother.
Please.
Violet, you're my mother.
Oh, Johnny, I'm sorry. I'm just a poor old broken down flower scent.
Sorry? I'm the one that ought to be sorry. Why didn't I get it? See it all the times you helped me out.
I'm sorry, Johnny. I'm so sorry.
Now, don't talk like that, Violet, because I'm the proudest guy in the world.
Oh, Johnny.
The proudest,
my
luckiest guy in the world.
Oh, my boy. My son. My son.
All right. Let's go out in the hall.
Yes, dear. They don't need us in here. Steve, how long have you known Violet's secret?
I wasn't sure until tonight, Laura.
Oh, you want me to phone Fletcher on City Desk and give him the story?
Only part of it, Laura. Unfortunately, happiness doesn't make headlines in this hard-boiled town.
Yeah. Well, what part of it do I feed Rewrite, Steve, and our readers at the Illustrated Press?
Just the fact that Larson and Cokie are going up the river for assaulting a flower seller by the name of Violet Nolan. Alias, the Angel of the Street.
And so ended in a happy reunion of mother and a prodigal son, another big town adventure of Steve Wilson and Lorelei of the Illustrated Press. In tonight's dramatization of Big Town, all names, times, and places are fictional, and any similarity to other names and places is purely coincidental. Big Town features Edward Pauley as Steve Wilson, Fran Carlin as Lorelei Kilbourne, and was written and directed by Jerry McGill. And now, Big Town bids you good night until next you hear the newsboy calling.
Extra, extra, hear all about it. The story of Steve Wilson and Big Town brought to you by Lifebuoy Health Soap, another fine Lever product. Extra, extra.
New Rin. Rinso with Solium puts sunshine in your wash. Rain or shine, new Rinso with Solium gives your wash a new brilliance you have never seen before. You can dry your wash anywhere, and white clothes will turn out actually whiter than brand new, and washable colors even brighter than new. It's because new Rinso contains the scientific sunlight ingredient, Solium. No other soap contains Solium, only new Rinso. So safe for clothes, so kind to hands. Find out about the amazing new brilliance of Rinso washed clothes. Find out how new Rinso with Solium puts sunshine in your wash. Get Rinso in the new package with the red Solium label. More women use Rinso than any other wash day soap in the world. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to The Golden Age of Radio and an episode of Big Town starring Edward Pauling and Fran Carlin. First broadcast on radio on October 19th, 1948. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When The Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. In a moment, actress Thelma Powell blames Nona for delays on the soap opera Nona from Nowhere from 1950. But first, a CBC radio report on returning to Canada in 1946 following World War II, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
In Great Britain and on the continent are many thousands of people who will shortly be leaving Europe for new homes in Canada. They are the wives and children of Canadian servicemen. Thousands have already arrived. Just this morning, the Letitia docked in Halifax with 900, but there are thousands more to come. Shipping has been the main difficulty in bringing them to Canada. Now a new ship has been added to the War Bride's fleet. Brian Meredith tells you about it from London.
There are 24,000 Canadians by marriage here in the United Kingdom, together with an additional 8,000 children and another 2,000 wives at least on the continent, who will be very excited tomorrow when they read in the papers the news that will have been carried by cables to you in Canada today. It is the news that the mighty Queen Mary, which has carried so many thousands of Canadian troops during the war, will, starting on May the 3rd, be used to transport to Canada the wives and children of Canadian servicemen. With 900 on the first run in May from Southampton to Halifax, and 2,000 per run thereafter, the Queen Mary will eat into the big backlog of people here overseas waiting their turn and chance to join their husbands in Canada. Getting wives and children over has proved, reasonably enough, a more complex problem for the authorities than handling troops. Wives take more space than troops and can't be put into the same type of accommodation aboard ships. And wives with children take still more space. Space and special equipment in their case that has been in short supply. The result has been that sometimes wives without children have got a chance to sail before those with children. It's not been anybody's fault. It's just luck. But now, the good news about the Queen Mary should cheer thousands of Canadian families and iron out many problems. For with this 81,000-ton liner, working with the Aquitania, the Scythia, the Lady Nelson, Lady Rodney, the Ile-de-France, and the Laetitia, the flow of the finest lot of immigrants that Canada has probably ever accepted will be going in good state. Arrangements for loading the Queen Mary with her share of Canadian brides for the first sailing are already in hand. And there are busy offices tonight at Canadian Military Headquarters in the Civil Repatriation Section and the Canadian Wives Bureau, headed by Lieutenant Colonel Vic Gill of Toronto, who are preparing warning telegrams, putting baggage labels in envelopes, marking lists, arranging for special trains, and doing some of the 101 details that have to be done to get the first big party in motion for the big day when they set out to cross the Atlantic threshold to the new world and home. This is Brian Meredith reporting to the CBC from London.
One of the war brides who has come to Canada is Mrs. Winifred Fair, one of the best-known airwomen in Great Britain. She is believed to have more flying hours to her credit than any other woman in England. Her total is about 4,000, half of it chalked up during the war when she was a flight captain of the Air Transport Auxiliary. She's interviewed in Montreal by Till Jackson of the CBC's International Service.
I understand, Mrs. Fair, that you helped to organize the women's section of the Air Transport Auxiliary. Will you tell us something about the auxiliary?
Well, the women's section was started in January 1940 to assist in the ferrying of military aircraft in the British Isles. We started with 8 women pilots, and by the end of 1945, when the ATA was demobilized, there were approximately 80 of us.
What did you actually do?
We ferried all types of military aircraft, from single-engine fighters to 4-engine bombers, and we flew them from the factories to their operational squadrons.
In ferrying the planes, did the women pilots fly alone?
Yes, on all the smaller types, and they had to do their own navigation. If a fog came up, there was not even the aid of radio to be relied upon for guidance.
Did you ever encounter enemy aircraft?
Yes, and on one occasion, I was ferrying a plane from a factory to an aerodrome, and I found the drone being raided. So I just flew away for a while, and I brought the plane in later when the enemy fighters had disappeared.
For those of us who know little about flying, could you give me an idea of how many miles your 2,000 air hours with the ATA represent?
Well, let's take 150 miles an hour as an average speed of the aircraft I flew. That would be about 300,000 miles.
I understand the ATA took women pilots from all over the world.
Yes, Canada, United States, France, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Chile, South Africa, and Australia were all represented.
That's quite a roster. Are you planning to live in Canada now, Mrs. Fair?
For the time being, yes. My husband, Peter Fair, a transatlantic pilot, is a Canadian. I'm thoroughly delighted with what I have seen of Canada so far. I flew over 4 weeks ago by clipper. It was a wonderful trip. We came by way of Lisbon, West Africa, South America, Trinidad, and Bermuda, and even had an opportunity for a day's swimming in West Africa.
Are you planning to do any flying while here?
Well, at the moment, I'm quite exhausted after 6 years of flying in the ATA. It was day-to-day living, catching meals wherever one was, and often putting up in uncomfortable billets on lonely stations. But I expect I shall want to get in the air again sometime.
Now, the new drama, Nona from Nowhere. The makers of Babbo present a new radio drama, Nona from Nowhere. The story of an adopted daughter whose kindly foster father has asked a famous Hollywood producer to redeem a promise given when his life was saved by making the amazing request that the producer marry a girl he has never seen before. His adopted daughter, Nona Brady, Nona from Nowhere. Listen, ladies, listen. It's the cleaning news of the century.
Your way to clean pots and pans, bathroom and kitchen fixtures faster than you ever thought possible.
It's with new improved Babbo for 1950.
New faster than ever Babbo, now with revolutionary detergent action that rinses dirt away.
You know about the new detergents, how they give whiter, cleaner washes, save time and work. Well, the amazing detergent action now in new improved Babbo does the exact same thing for pots and pans, bathtubs and refrigerators.
It rinses dirt away with lightning speed.
You save more precious time than even Babbo could save before.
And it's no wonder. For new 1950 Babbo now works two ways. First, dissolves grease. Melts away grease that causes 90% of your hard scouring.
Second, the modern detergent action now in new improved Babbo penetrates dirt, loosens it, rinses it away.
Results are simply amazing. Surfaces come thoroughly clean, gleam and sparkle. There's no hard work, and you're through faster than you ever thought possible.
Try new Babbo for pots and pans, bathroom and kitchen fixtures. Ask your grocer for new improved B-A-B-O Babbo, now with revolutionary detergent action. And now the curtain rises on Nona from Nowhere. 23-year-old Nona Brady is deeply resolved to turn away from her love for fascinating Vernon Dutell, the brilliant Hollywood director. For Nona believes that Vernon has only pretended to be in love with her because of his friendship with her foster father, Pat Brady. But Vernon's love for Nona has become the most important thing in his life, and he violently resents the interest that Emery Monaco, a rival producer at Palladium Films, has shown in her. It's now late afternoon on the set at Palladium Films, and the star, Thelma Powell, calls angrily.
Nona? Nona, come here.
What is it, Thelma?
Come here.
Well, Vernon said to go on to the dressing room and get ready to go home. We're not going to rehearse the scene again today.
I suppose you're glad to go home now. After we wasted today, thanks to you.
That's not true, Thelma, and I won't let you blame me again. I did not cause all the delays today.
You certainly did. Here we are in the midst of one of the most costly productions of the year, and everything has to stop while Vernon gives you acting lessons.
I never claimed to know anything about acting. I didn't ask Vernon for the part in this picture. He gave me a screen test, and he wanted me to do the part.
Oh, I can't go on. I can't. My nerves won't stand it.
Thelma, it's been a long and difficult day for you. Why don't you wait until tomorrow to talk to me? Perhaps you can give me some suggestions.
I can't. I'm an artist. Oh, how can they make me suffer like this? Vernon, please come here.
I don't see him anywhere on the set, Thelma.
Oh.
That's the producer, Emery Monaco.
What's the trouble, Thelma? Shall I call your maid?
Thank you, no, Emery. I don't need my maid. But it's been a frightful, nerve-torturing day.
I'm extremely sorry to hear that, Thelma. Nona, I was looking for you. I came on the set to find you.
Vernon said we finished work for the day, Mr. Monaco. I was on my way to my dressing room.
Wait. I must see you.
Oh, Vernon, darling, there you are.
Thelma, what in the world's delaying you and Nona? I told you we'd get back to that scene in the morning.
I'm so worried about it, I won't sleep tonight.
If you're so worried, Thelma, I'm sure Vernon can take time right now to explain all the subtle points.
I thought, Monaco, I said I'd go back to the scene in the morning.
You're directing the picture, Vernon, and a great deal of its success depends on Thelma. You talk to her and stop her from worrying, eh? Come on, Nona. I'll take you to your dressing room.
You'll do nothing of the kind.
What's that, Vernon?
I warned you this morning, Monaco, to stay off this set. You have no connection with this picture.
Isn't JML still president of Palladium Films? Why don't you find out what he told me at 3 o'clock, huh? Where do you think you're getting off trying to run the whole studio?
This must be dull to Nona and Thelma. Come along, Nona. I'll take you to the dressing room.
But, Vernon,
I'll see you later, Thelma. Come on, Nona, this way.
All right, Vernon.
I warn you, Dutell, think over what I told you.
I shall, Monaco.
Vernon.
Yes, darling?
Don't, please.
Call you darling.
No, Vernon, I'm serious.
My adored one. My love.
What I'm trying to say is, I'm sorrier than I can possibly tell you that Thelma feels as she does about my being on the picture.
Don't let that disturb you.
But, Vernon, she's a famous star, and, well, I can imagine how she feels. After all, I wouldn't be in the picture if you weren't an old friend of Daddy Pat's.
Oh, nonsense. Your screen test was marvelous.
You directed me in it, and you helped me to be good in it. When I look back, Vernon, I keep remembering all Daddy Pat said to you about his wanting me out of that office.
Pat believed you had talent for acting, and you have. Make no mistake about it.
What?
I'll tell you in a second. Here's your dressing room.
Yes. Won't you come in?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You were saying something about my talent for acting.
Oh, yes, so I was. Well, it's understandable for Pat to think you escaped hard work when you left your office job. But what you've escaped, darling, is nothing to what you've come into.
Just exactly what do you mean?
You'll have to work about 16 hours a day. You'll be coached, you'll take dancing lessons, you'll study voice, you'll want to learn to talk to photographers, reporters, autograph seekers, and there'll be hundreds of other things.
No, I'm afraid I can't do it. It's all a mistake, Vernon. You have too much confidence in me.
Oh, no, I haven't, darling. Now, Nona, listen to me, please, for just 1 minute. You
Vernon,
have...
darling.
Oh.
It's Thelma Powell.
Yes, I know, but...
Vernon, I have to see you now about that scene, or I won't be able to come to the studio tomorrow.
Thelma.
I'm ill with worry. Nothing about it is right. Vernon, we have to talk about it now, or I'll be prostrate with nerves by tomorrow.
Thelma, dear, you mustn't be so excited.
But you know what this picture means to me. I'm not casual about my work. No artist ever is. Oh, Vernon,
all
I...
All right, Thelma, I'll go to your dressing room with you, and we'll go over the scene. Nona?
Yes?
The studio car will take you home.
Well, thank you, Vernon.
Do come on, Vernon.
I'm coming, Thelma. But nothing has happened to call for all this excitement and hysteria.
As Nona watches Vernon leave her dressing room with Thelma, she can't foresee the extraordinary circumstances under which she'll see him again. And now, 20 minutes later, Nona sitting beside Vernon's bitter rival, Emery Monaco, in his car. And Monaco is saying...
Nona, it was typical of Vernon to want to send you home in the studio car while he stayed with Thelma.
I don't mind that, Mr. Monaco.
Luckily, I was there. I was waiting to drive you home.
It was awfully nice of you.
Don't say that in that charming voice of yours that can sound so polite and impersonal.
But it is nice of you, Mr. Monaco. I hope the apartment isn't out of your way.
Nona, are you angry with me?
Angry? Well, why should I be?
Well, Vernon claims to be such a devoted friend to you and your foster father, Pat Brady. But I don't like Vernon, and I say so. Would you rather that I were a hypocrite?
Mr. Monaco, I don't think anyone should be a hypocrite. People in the same work can't always agree. You and Vernon have been at the studio together for a good many years.
Nona, I believe in destiny. Just as some men are meant to be friends, others are destined to be enemies. And I think death is the referee.
That's the strangest thing I've ever heard.
Vernon hates me, and the hatred grew first within him. Oh, I'm frank to say I don't like his ideas or his arrogance.
What did you mean when you said death is the referee?
You sound quite disturbed. Are you afraid of great words like death and life? And love?
Mr. Monaco, you did sound as if you thought it was a kind of duel to the death between you and Vernon. But I understand now you were just using a figure of speech.
Perhaps, in a sense. Though I have a very unusual philosophy of life. I'll tell you about it if you'll dine with me tonight.
Oh, well, thank you, but Daddy Pat expects me at home.
Oh, you don't have to sit at home with your foster father every night, do you?
Oh, no. Daddy Pat wants me to have lots of friends.
I'd like for you to see the Green Shack.
I've heard that name.
It's one of the well-known Hollywood places.
I've heard of it. Isn't it sort of an informal nightclub?
Yes, that's what it is. We could have an early dinner there. I promise you'll enjoy it. It's different from anything you've ever seen. Oh, please, Nona.
Well, I would like to see the Green Shack, Mr. Monaco, but I better talk it over with Daddy Pat.
Fine, we'll leave it like that. I don't believe he'll object. Do you?
Well, Vernon.
Yes, Pat. I hope it's all right that I didn't phone first before driving out here.
Oh, sure. Come right on in.
Thanks. Is Nona here?
Oh, I'm sorry to say she's not.
She's not?
No, she got home from the studio, but she went back out again about 15 minutes ago.
Oh.
She went out to have dinner with Emery Monaco and...
With Monaco? Did he telephone her?
Oh, he brought her home from the studio in his car.
The devil he did. Where are they?
Well, Vernon, I'm thinking, you know, there's a restaurant called the Green Shack.
The Green Shack? Pat, he isn't taking Nona there.
But why...
No, he wouldn't dare take her to a place like that.
Well, is something wrong with it? You mean it's not a nice place?
You keep calm, Pat.
Now, Vernon...
The Green Shack is just a noisy place and a bit on the notorious side.
That man must be mad to take Nona to a place like that.
Yes, he is. But don't you worry, Pat.
Vernon, don't be telling me not to worry.
I'll take care of it, Pat. I won't let her go there with Monaco. I'm going to drive after them right now and bring Nona home.
fateful words. Will Nona appreciate Vernon's interfering? Desperate forces are set in motion that lead to sudden death. But Vernon and Pat are thinking only of their love for Nona. Vernon doesn't foresee the strange and dark challenge just ahead that threatens Nona from nowhere. Give it one try, ladies, and you'll say it's better than ever. New, improved 1950 Babo, now with revolutionary detergent action. New Babo cleans faster than you ever thought possible. Surfaces sparkle brighter, too, because new, improved Babo now works two ways. One, new Babo dissolves grease that causes 90% of your daily scouring. Two, new Babo's revolutionary detergent action penetrates dirt, loosens it, rinses it away. It's sheer cleaning magic. Try it. Today, get new, improved 1950 Babo, now with amazing detergent action. Ladies, you'll never touch a dish towel again once you discover that other Babo product. It's Glim, the wonderful concentrated liquid that cuts dishwashing time in half, makes dishes and glasses sparkle without wiping. With Glim, you wash dishes faster and easier than ever before. For here's truly greaseless dishwashing. No grease foam on the water, no grease left on dishes, no grease ring around the sink or dishpan. You simply take the cap off the Glim bottle, fill it, then pour the liquid into empty sink or dishpan. Turn water on full force and wash your dishes in instant suds. Then rinse and rack. That's all. Dishes, glasses, dry, sparkling bright without wiping. It's faster, easier. And Glim saves you money over soaps or powders. It's concentrated. You use so little, a single bottle gives you 50 dishwashings. What's more, Glim is as kind to hands as beauty soap. Try it. Today at your grocer's, get the bottle with the bright red label that says G-L-I-M, Glim. This is Ford Bond speaking and asking you to join us on this station at the same time tomorrow when the amazing new story of Nona from Nowhere will again be brought to you by Babo, the grease-dissolving cleaner, and by Glim, the amazing liquid that gives you greaseless dishwashing.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY and an episode of Nona from Nowhere, first broadcast on radio on February 9th, 1950. We also heard a CBC radio report from April 25th, 1946. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.